Studios at Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. So here's a question for you. How many children go missing around the globe every year? Well, if you don't know the answer, you're not alone. Turns out no one does. And no one has been looking for an answer until now. A small research lab at Boise State University has been working for the past year to find that number and to build a statistical model that the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children can use to update every single year. The head of Boise State's Program Evaluation and Research Lab, also known as PEARL, is Carl Siebert. He's joining us now along with research associate Harrison Higgins. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. This is Carl.
Hi, Gemma. Thank you.
Well, hi.
This is Harrison.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Harrison. So, Carl, I want to start with you. Who asked you to begin looking for the number of missing children around the world?
So when I, before coming to Boise in 2015, which is when I started PEARL, I was at Rutgers University. And at that time, I was helping graduate students learn how to do research. And Felicity Northcott was involved in a company called a nonprofit, International Social Services. And she had a few problems that she wanted to solve statistically. I'm a statistician by training. And we worked together on a number of different projects. But then I kind of disappeared on her and showed up in Boise and having a time of my life. And she tracked me down. And she said, I need someone that will help me make a model that'll estimate the number of missing children. And she tracked me down and found me.
And why? So, Carl, why isn't there a number already? I mean, that's kind of surprising.
It's shocking. I really, when she brought it up to me and we started talking about the issues, in one of the bigger problems is, of course, the definition of missing. I mean, how do you define what a child really is missing versus trafficked versus just homeless? And all the different countries across the globe like to define missingness differently. And also a lot of the countries don't like to report the number of missingness. And so that was one of two of our major hurdles, is to try and actually find a consistent definition of missing. And then to figure out, well, how do we fill in the gaps when a country isn't willing to share particular information?
So Harrison, how do you start looking for the number of missing children in every country?
Well, this time we started with Google searches. We have a list of search terms that we used, and you know, we've spent the last year, myself and then two undergraduate research assistants, scouring the internet. You know, we've spent probably several thousand hours combing materials online, trying to find anything and everything related to missing children. We go country by country. You know, I can say with some confidence that if there is material online available, and, you know, we're kind of limited by language, too. But if the content was online regarding missing children, I could say with some confidence, you know, we found it. But that was, you know, you start with search engine results.
Well, and Felicity hooked us up a lot, too, is she, because of her position, because she's the director of global missing children issues across the globe. And so she has a lot of connections throughout the world. And so we've actually had a couple of meetings with Zoom meetings with country members that are also interested in finding out a little bit better about the number of missingness in their countries.
So Harrison, how many countries are you searching right now?
So we use the list of the official list of countries published by the UN. So the 195 countries in total that we looked into. That isn't every country. There are plenty of island nations out there that have 5-10,000 people, but we wanted to, we couldn't include all of them in our initial search.
So Carl, you mentioned the word missing has been a stumbling block because of how different countries define it. So talk to me a little bit more about that. I mean, how has that impacted your work and your research?
Oh, well, it was very challenging. And we had to finally just decide as a group what the definition would be. And so we're trying to remove or extract, you know, trafficked children numbers from missingness. But we knew that so many countries didn't report anything on missingness. we decided to use the countries that do report missingness in a particular way that matched our the definition we were coming up with and match other characteristics. So we have right now about 52 different types of characteristics of countries. So if they have similar GDP or homicide rates or literacy rates or unemployment rates, and we have a country that looks similar, we fill in the gaps, basically. We use statistical procedures to fill in the data that we don't have on those countries to try and get an overall picture of everybody.
So, Harrison, is there a country or countries that have the best data on missing children?
Oh, absolutely. The quality of information, is there's a massive contrast. The best countries are going to be the U.S. We actually do a great job of tracking this information. The U.K. and Canada as well. We have national law enforcement agencies that publish this data on a yearly basis. It's been the same law enforcement agency for two decades that's made this information available. So we have a very proceduralized way of collecting this data. On the other hand, on the far end of the spectrum, we have pretty much anywhere in Central Africa, places that are very subject to conflict, very unstable governments. There's almost no information. There's no federal government agency that tracks this information. Every once in a while, you'll get 1 year here or there, but year over year, decade over decade, there's a lot of the globe that they don't track the information at all. But the best information is coming from North America, Europe, and actually South America does a pretty good job too for most of the geographic region.
So Harrison, if I'm hearing you right, like let's say you're looking for the number in the United States, right? You have tools like the FBI's database, their webpage, and you can use that to count the number, to find the number of missing children. But let's say you're in Uganda in Africa, right? And you're trying to find that number as well. They don't have this database. So then how do you go about finding it? Or is it more of a guesstimate?
You know, that's where the model comes in. And that's what Carl's referring to is we don't have information on Uganda. And, you know, when we've had meetings with stakeholders, Uganda's actually been one of my favorite examples because Uganda's probably the best example of the worst data. We just don't have data. It's hard to even find a publication. It's hard to find a press release, anything, even a statement from a government official on how many children go missing in Uganda. So that's an area that there's no data for. And this is where the statistical model comes in, is we want to find countries that resemble Uganda in some way. Maybe that's some of the predictors that we took into account were things like fertility rate, birth rate, Gini coefficient, the percent of the population that are refugees. So there's all sorts of these characteristics that we can compare cross country. So we can look at Uganda and then try to find characteristics or find other countries that have similar characteristics to Uganda that also have missing child data and try to fill in some of the information in Uganda that they don't publish directly. And that's kind of, that's the point of bringing in a statistical model, is trying to predict with some mathematical rigor data where data does not exist.
And Carl, I'm guessing that there are certain countries that simply do not want to report how many children go missing. So A, is that the case? And then if it is, I mean, how in the world then do you even calculate that number? I mean, I realize Harrison gave us, you know, the model and how that works, but if they're not reporting anything, I mean, what do you have to work with?
Well, and that's one of our challenges. Our goal is to hand over a model that Felicity then can use to fill in some of the places where we're guessing using statistics rather than real life reporting. Because if there's a starting place, we're hoping that it'll encourage countries that don't report, that they don't like the number that we're providing them, and they may be more incentivized to give us more information, to be able to actually come up with a better accurate count of how many are missing in their country. So the whole goal is really to develop a model that then can be handed over and used.
So in a way, I mean, when you hand over this model to, let's say, a country that doesn't want to report this, I mean, you're kind of pushing them a little bit to have to report. I would.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm a little nervous about the numbers because we're starting to see how much is really showing up. And I think there's going to be a lot of countries that are not going to agree, which is nervous provoking, but it's also kind of exciting because when you go look out there and you realize that in the research, there isn't anything out there that has done this in the past. So we had nothing to build upon when we first started out. And now that we'll have a conversation piece where people can go, I don't agree with this. And our response will be, that's great. So tell us how you think we can improve this. And so this is really a pretty initial step to getting this conversation to a place where everybody wants to talk about this.
Right. And isn't that the key right there? So, Carl, you've actually offered counseling to all of your researchers in your lab because of this project.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that. I think it speaks to how intense this is.
It was when we first started diving into it and looking at what we had to review, it was pretty depressing. I mean, we were looking at the worst case scenarios in all these different countries, and that's what's connected to missing this. So it wasn't just, you know, the political structure or their practices economically, and it was actually the social dynamics that's happening within their countries. And also, we realized this is beyond our model now, but even natural disasters and political war disasters are going to influence the number that we're going to count. So I realized that if you spend many hours looking through the literature online, I wanted everybody to have the opportunity to get some support and make sure that they're healthy and they're okay.
Because Harrison, I know this is really difficult for people to think about, but can you talk a little bit about some of the search terms that you're using online? Because I mean, you're looking for things like human trafficking, crimes against children. I mean, this is heavy stuff.
Yeah. I have yet to take Carl up on his offer to seek counseling, but, I've got three little guys at home, and some of this stuff, especially when, it deals with very specific cases, it is gruesome. Children are treated as a commodity in a lot of places. Child soldiering, human trafficking, that's a small part of the picture. People do unthinkable things to children just to make money a lot of the time. They are truly considered a commodity in some places. So we are using search terms, like you mentioned, missing children, trafficked children, sexually exploited children. There's all sorts of terms that we use, and spending a year in this data, it wasn't just myself. We had great research assistants too. Emily Hawley and Stephen Deer have both been fantastic parts of this project. The three of us have collectively spent thousands of hours just sitting in data that's
horrific.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Harrison, you said, that children are seen as a commodity, right? That in some countries, they're seen as things, basically, to be bought and sold. But I think that sometimes in the Western world, we want to believe that we don't view children like that. I would have to think that the research you're doing has uncovered that, yes, maybe in other parts of the country, it's more prolific, but human trafficking happens in the United States.
It does. It happens everywhere. Just like any other country, there are corridors of human trafficking. Idaho happens to be a corridor of human trafficking. I don't think it's not unique. It's not just a third world problem. It does happen in developed nations as well.
And Harrison, as both you and Carl mentioned, I mean, you must have seen some pretty awful things online over this last year. In fact, I think you've probably seen the worst of humanity in many ways. And with three little ones at home, how do you cope with this so that you can have a good mental health outlook?
I have my own counselor that I've been seeing since before I even started working for Carl. So he's been extraordinarily helpful. There have been multiple times that I've shed tears over breakfast with my dad talking about some of the things that I've encountered working on this project. That's probably the extent of it. It's something that I do talk about on a regular basis.
I hope what helps too is we really tried to talk a lot about what we're going to be able to do with this model right. eventually. I mean, stay on the idea that we are doing this horrible work in for a really good cause, and that's really to bring more awareness, because I think it's going to make an impact. And like right now, we're finally through with the data collection piece of it. But now we're having to decide out of the 52 some variables that we've collected for all these different countries, which ones are the ones that we're going to use in the final model. So now we're having to discuss the differences between like robbery and theft, which one's more important to helping us identify missingness. So we're now picking and choosing which variables are more significant to missingness and which ones we're going to leave behind on this go round.
Well, and Carl, I mean, without knowing the number of how many children are missing, I mean, we as a society cannot understand or know how bad the problem really is, correct?
I had no idea. I mean, even with all the stuff that I've done with Felicity in the past, I had no idea that the number is what it is. And I don't see it getting any better until there's more attention paid to it.
Well, and Carl, you're also working on a statistical model that the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children can use to actually update the number of missing children every year. So how will this then help?
Yeah, what we're hoping to do is be able to take this model and together go with other funders to expand the reach into other countries so that we can take this model to other countries and go, this is what we're working on. Would you like to join us in another effort to make this model even more prolific and more accurate in measuring globally how many are missing? So this is really just our first tool to bring people to the table. Mm-hmm.
And I know, Carl, you mentioned earlier in the interview that you've talked with different countries, different representatives from these countries to get more information. How are they responding to your search?
The first meeting we had with a handful of countries, they were very involved and very interested. When I talked to my peers, my other statistical peers, they didn't believe we could get this far even. So I have had some quite interesting conversations with others in why this hasn't been tried before. But when you go out to the countries, it's interesting to see their level of engagement, where I don't know if that's going to be the case when this model is finished and we reach out to a wider range of countries.
Carl, can you tell us the number of missing children?
I'm really uncomfortable in doing that this time. When the model's done, I think that would be the great time to share that information with everybody. In the preliminary stages, I don't want the people that are going to be unhappy with that number to step in too early. I want to be able to have everything in place and be able to present what we've done in the process that we've gone through statistically as well as information gathering, so that we can have a conversation based on what's really taken place. The people that won't like this number, I'm sure will want to jump out ahead of the game and maybe have way too much to say without enough information. And so I'm going to hold that number back at this time. So but can I can you tell you that the number's horrific.
I was going to ask you just that. I mean, is it going to yes. be a number that will literally in a very negative way blow our minds?
It's not a pleasant number. We've had the estimate already, and it's pretty shocking.
All right. Well, I know that we are planning on then having both of you back later this summer, because when you do release that number, we want to have a deeper conversation about this and where you go from here with that number. So Carl, you're hoping to have that number and the model by the end of June, correct?
Yeah, we're really close. We're having meetings this week to finalize the list of variables that we think are going to be the most significant. And then we'll have the model done within the next couple of weeks after that.
So what are you hoping happens once you have all of that? I mean, do you continue your research? Where do you go from there?
Well, for me, I'm a puzzle person. I mean, being on the radio and talking out loud is not my comfort zone.
Well, you've done very well.
But my hope is to be able to do this again in such a way that it'll have more characteristics of capturing more characteristics that are relevant to missingness. Like this particular model is not going to be able to adjust for those unexpected disasters or forecast for a war significant or the level of war impact that it might have on causing more missingness. And so we want to be able to do this again with more tentacles, reaching out to more information to pull into getting an even more accurate number. So that's really my goal, is solving the puzzle.
This round was really a proof of concept. We wanted to see if this could be done, and it took a year, but we're at a place where we can comfortably say this can be done. We did this with what is not very much, you know, not large funding as far as research goes, but we've proven that we can do it. And the idea is to hopefully come back later and go big with this, recruit more people in more countries, get more hands involved, get more resources looking at this problem. But this time around, this was our opportunity to say this can be done. This problem can be defined and it can be measured.
And I think with that, would the hope then be to not just get countries involved, get their leaders involved, but maybe just wake up the average citizen who may not be recognizing how big of a problem this is.
Oh, absolutely. Having the conversation, it would be icing on the cake as far as being able to do this model to begin with. Because more people that are aware of what's going on, hopefully more attention will be brought to the issue.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. It cannot be easy, what you've been doing, but I do hope that it will make a difference.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we look forward to having you on later this summer so we can dive into this a little bit more and continue to have this conversation. We've been speaking with Carl Siebert, who heads the Pearl Research Lab at Boise State University, and one of his research associates, Harrison Higgins. They're working with the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children to estimate the number of children who go missing each year around the globe. And as they said, it is a number that will shock you. Up next, helping children and families in Canyon County when homelessness is looming on the horizon. We'll have more Idaho Matters next. Thank you.